Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to talk to you today for a few minutes on this topic, the excellent ones. Say the excellent ones. I'm talking about you. See, I am an excellent one. Let's go to our first scripture, the 16th division of the book of Psalms. And this is something the Lord said. First of all, David spoke to God, and then God spoke back to David. It says this, David said, "O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. And my goodness is nothing apart from you. And for the saints who are on the earth," then God said, "they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." That's where that phrase comes from, excellent ones. And God's talking about his people. And I believe there's a sense where, because we're all made in God's image, we're all God's people. Problem is, some of us have not received Christ and going on to have the fullness. But God loves everybody, and he wants to help us all. And so whenever we turn our hearts to God, and as David said, "Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. Without you, I can do nothing. But then God said of his people that they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I want to start there today. I want to say to the students, to the scholars, to the graduates, that the very fact that you're going through school, passing grades, graduating at the end of the process is evidence of excellence. Say excellence. Let me say this also, that the word excellent is from the word excel. And excel just means one simple thing. It means to go beyond. Say go beyond. Go beyond. And so that's what happens when you're in school, you're doing well, you're doing more than you really need to do, you think, or well, actually, say it differently. Some of us in school have a sense that I'm not here just to get by. I'm here to excel. I'm here to go beyond, right? And so when you do that, you get recognized with higher grades and honors and all that. But in every area of endeavor, God has built us and designed us to go beyond. You know how I know that? Because God went beyond. That's what God does for us. God did not just settle. God went for the best. He created you. That's how I know it. He created you. He created me. And so God has created the whole heavens, the whole earth, because God doesn't settle. He goes beyond. And so when God puts his life in you, then the same nature, the same expectation is there that you would go beyond. So God can say then, "These are my excellent ones, in whom is all my delight." That's why, you know, when you come short, you're unhappy with yourself. And people who love you, but are unhappy because you could have done more, could have done better. It's not condemnation. It's just a fact. And so that what happens is you get accustomed to letting God raise the standard in your own mind, in your own thinking. You get accustomed to people around you speaking to you and helping you go higher. You know what? Also, you're not mad at people who are better than you, because they're just showing you the way. You know what? Listen, it's what we don't want to do is make ourselves feel better by putting somebody else down or try to get around somebody you think is worse off. Don't play those games. What you want to do is help people you think are worse off, but get around people who are ahead of you, who can be an example to you. Amen? So that way, you're around people who go beyond, who excel, who are excellent, and it rubs off on you. You know, someone said when I was a kid, one of the coaches said to me, he said, "You know what? If you lay down with the dogs, you wake up with the fleas." Like, what are you talking about? Oh, I found out, okay. It's amazing. You're going to become what you behold. What did I just say? Yeah. Now, thank God for friends. We're not going to be high and mighty and go, you know, what's that word, bougie and all that. We're not doing that. But we're going to not settle. We're not going to lower ourselves to make somebody comfortable. Don't make yourself smaller to make yourself comfortable. If you get straight A's, say you got straight A's. Well, I got a B, and so I got a B too. Well, if you got a B, say that. But do not ever apologize for excellence, because you worked for it. God put you in position to achieve it. And if you don't have straight A's, if you have straight B's, straight C's, it was the best. If that's your best effort, then praise be to God. Some of the most impactful people in the world were not straight A students. Some of the weirdest people in the world are straight A students. So academics don't equate to morality. Don't make that mistake either. I'm just saying, do your best. Do your best. Because God says you are one of my excellent ones. It's amazing somehow just when someone you esteem and look up to, when they say something encouraging to you, it makes you want to go higher, doesn't it? So we as adults, make sure we're encouraging young people, our children, everybody's child, one another. Encourage one another, the Bible says, while it's called today. Another scripture, Jeremiah 29. This is very good. God spoke to Israel. That was the context, but here's an application for us as well. Verse 11, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You can read it on the screen. Read with me, if you could, please. Read that with me. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Young people, I want you to pay attention to that, because those of us who are older, we have a lot life to live, but for you who are young, you have a long life to live ahead of you. So when God says, "I know the plans I have for you," if God says, "I know the plans I have for you," what's your question to God? Let's try it again. This is a class now. If God says, "I know the plans I have for you," what question do you ask? What is the plan? Lord, what is the plan? That's it. Lord, what is the plan? So in prayer, in your pursuit, as you learn and grow, you're letting God answer that question. He has a plan for you. Now listen, God's plan for you doesn't just happen whether you want it to or not. God has a plan, but he wants us then to choose to follow him. He doesn't force us. He helps us. He doesn't force us. So then, yeah, be a person who's always inquiring, have an inquiring mind. Lord, what is the plan? Then he says, "I have plans to prosper you." He said, here it is. "I have plans to prosper you." Now, prosper doesn't just mean have money. It means have money, but it also means prosperity in your health, prosperity in your thinking, prosperity in your emotions, prosperity everywhere. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He says to give you hope and a future. What is hope? Hope is like a picture. You know who it is? Here it is. Let's say we got a vacation coming up this summer. And what you do is you look at pictures, look at maps, look at destinations. Where am I going? What do they have? What can we do there? And so what happens is, by looking at pictures and thinking about it, you build hope. Hope is expectation. What is hope? Yeah. So having hopes is important. Having hopes. And even where it concerns your education, where you want to go with your learning, have hope. And it may be that you may hope for things that seem to some people impossible. Don't let people ever dissuade you from hoping. Because the higher you aim, the higher you'll go. Maybe you don't get to the very top of what you were hoping for, But you're going way further than you would have if you hadn't hoped at all. So hopes are important. Dream big, think big. Then he says, give you hope and a future. Now I say, well, of course, everybody has a future. No, I'm not just saying you'll be around tomorrow. I believe he's saying you'll be impactful. You're going to make a mark that cannot be erased. It's a future that other people will be involved with. Not only will you be blessed, you'll become a blessing to other people. You believe that? So why is graduation called commencement? Now, for those who graduated, and all of us will graduate, what does that word commencement, why is it called a commencement? Well, quite simply, the word commencement is from a Latin word that means beginning. It's a beginning. So while you think that, okay, I just finished high school, I'll finish college in 4 years, and I'll be finished. No, you'll be beginning. My dad told me something about being a high school student. He said, the high school is where you learn how to learn. You start really learning after high school, whether it's in college, whether it's in trade school, military, or the school of life. You know what I'm saying? So high school, you learn how to learn. So people get happy, throw the caps up, run around. Fine. Just come on back down. Put your hat back on. Because there's more. You're just starting. Amen. This is a beginning. So what is commencement? Commencement is a beginning. All right. And a good beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God commenced with creation in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Let me talk to you briefly about education levels, okay? It's Scholar Sunday, and I expect to see you, all of you, go forward in your learning and your educational careers. So there are different levels in our Western society. We have high school diplomas. We have associates and bachelors. We have masters, okay? So high school diploma just means you're commencing as a committed learner, having learned how to learn. So high school is about learning how to learn. And after high school, you do trade, you do college, you do military, you do something else where you can apply and begin learning. So now you learn in high school. I'm not saying you don't learn in high school, but you learn how to learn. You get tools that after high school, you can go to different levels. And so among those levels are associates and bachelor's degree. Associates typically a 2-year degree. Bachelor is a 4-year degree in which you commence as a skilled practitioner in your area of study. So some go and do 2 years and earn an associate's in HVAC, you know, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. And that is a serious profession. A lot of money. I got a guy whose services, the guy I'm trying to get whose services are, but he's so busy, he can't come find. He can't even come help us until next week. That was 2 weeks ago, okay? He's that busy. Yeah, associate's degree, 2-year degree, fine. Then there's 4-year degrees. And of course, to become an educator, a teacher, or many professions require a minimum of a bachelor's degree. That way you can commence as a skilled practitioner. Now, I have a bachelor's degree in media arts and science. And I studied media arts. I also have a bachelor of theology. And so those are degrees help me become a skilled practitioner. Then there's master's level. And the master's level speaks to commencing as with specialized knowledge to advance in your field. So a master's of education, a master's of social work, a master's of whatever area, then you can then have the knowledge and ability and a willingness to have specialized knowledge to advance in your field. Now, we don't just collect degrees for degrees' sake. No one does that who's honest about it, you know, because it costs too much to get any kind of degree nowadays. And nor do you just go to school for going to school's sake. You have to answer the question, why am I going? What do I want to do? Now, I advise you this way. My children had heard the same thing from us, my wife and I. First, I say as a Christ follower, what has God gifted you to do? Where are your gifts from God? Get training around the gifting. And also, do something you love to do. Now, we all do jobs. We all understand that, you know, we do a job to make money to pay the bills. Whether you love it or not, you do it. Amen, somebody. We've had jobs. Now, some of us have jobs you can actually love, but some jobs you don't love at all. Get up. You're going to get up tomorrow morning. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go. I don't feel like it today. You're going to get up anyway. You're going to put some water on your face. You're going to comb your hair, if you still got hair. You're going to complain and grab the car keys, go out, start, and go straight to work. That's life. But then there is the careers. Now, a lot of our parents and grandparents held down jobs so we could have careers. Now, a career is a job, but a career is something you dreamed of doing. You wanted to do all your life, so to speak, and you get to do that, and you get training for that. And so it's all good, it's all God, you know, jobs, careers. But when you're at a master's level, you have specialized knowledge, okay? Next level is the doctorate level. There's two types of doctorates. There are research doctorates and professional doctorates. Now, I have a doctor of ministry. That's a professional doctorate. There are doctorates, professional doctorates, such as public health, doctor of public health. There's doctor of business administration, doctor of nursing practice, doctor of psychology, doctor of health administration, doctor of social work. These are all professional doctorates. And typically, you don't call people doctors who have professional doctorates. You can, nothing wrong with it, but the ethic is, if you have a professional doctorate, you don't require people to call you doctorate, doctor, with a professional doctorate. Now again, you know, I know I'm stepping on somebody's toe. I'm a doctor, call me doctor. All right, doc. But, you know, if you have any level of anything in life, the title is not what makes you. It's what you do that makes you. So I'm always concerned with somebody, you got to call me bishop, call me right reverend. All right. So be it, you know what I'm saying? But don't call me Brian. Call me by my name. If you receive me as pastor and doctor, call me that too sometime. But let's not get caught up in the vanity of titles. What we want is function. Say function. So it's all good. Now, going back to the other level, so the research doctorate, those would be the PhD, Doctor of Philosophy, EdD, Doctor of Education, Doctor of Theology, THD. These are research doctorates because it's a lot longer time to earn it. There's a lot more work in it, frankly. And research doctors add knowledge to the world. For example, Dr. Gwen Kelly is a PhD. She has a research, we call her doctor because she has a research degree. Someone said, well, why are they calling Jill Biden doctor? Because she has a doctor of education. So she is rightfully called Dr. Jill Biden. So again, let's not get caught up in titles. Let's respect people enough to use their title if you receive them that way. But I'm saying to you students, as you aspire to advance in life, understand what you're getting yourself into. And I fully expect, I'm looking here at these young people, and I fully expect to see masters coming forth. Now, all y'all going to be bachelors and associates. That's a given. I mean, come on, somebody. Associate's degree, bachelor's degree, that's a given. Unless you choose military or some trade, and that's good too. But so then I'm talking now to prospective and future masters in different fields. I'm looking here at doctors, professional and research. Come on, somebody. Looking at you right now. Looking forward to you bringing you back up in here to tell us, you know, how you did it, how you got through. All I got to say is, when you get into college, first year, you can kick it. Just kick it. Second year, you kick it a little bit. And by junior year, your brain's on fire. And by the senior year, it's like, get me out of here. Somebody save me. Get me through this. And you get through it. That's just a bachelor's degree. You get into the master's, the doctorate level. But by then, you're accustomed to having your brain on fire. It's like, brain's always on fire. It's like, no problem. I went back to school at 42 years of age, I think 44, to earn my bachelor's degree. I started and left, went to ministry, went back. Now here I am sitting up in here with young people in a 100 level course. And so I went in there and this was the Media Arts and Science program. Now I already was doing media arts. I was doing it anyway. I wanted the credential. I earned it. Well, I remember, so the professor, one occasion, gave us an assignment. He wanted a 10-page paper on some subject. Kids are like, 10 pages? I'm like, 10 pages? That's all you want is 10 pages? So when you get to a certain level of life, the work doesn't intimidate you. That's my point. You go from, you get to the high school senior level, high school senior, like, we working up in here. You are. You are a big fish in a little pond in high school. You go up to college, and now you are a little fish in a big pond. You follow me? But then what happens is you become a bigger fish. You go to the master's level, doctor level, and what's amazing is God helps you, and your learning simply reinforces everything you are. And what seemed impossible becomes possible. What seems too hard to do is like, bring it. Come on with it. I'm ready. Come on, bring it. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. You gain confidence. You got that? So I want to just encourage you, young people, that yes, you're going to commence. I think a couple here, or one here, I think has finished high school. Another is, a senior. That's wonderful. But you're only beginning. Because commencement is what? Beginning. All right, let me give you 4 points, finish up here. First of all, how to commence in advance in life. How to commence in advance. How to begin in advance. Number one, stand in your space. See, I will stand in my space. Earn and demand respect. See that? I say, I will earn and demand respect. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. All right? Now, you can't control what people do. I know that. But what you don't want to do is accept somebody's looking down on you. Just walk away from them, you know. Sometimes people don't like that you're advancing, you're coming up kind of quickly, too quick for them, but not too quick for God. And so you'll find that as you advance in your career or in your educational career, you know, your friends change. I mean, real friends are always friends now. I should say the acquaintances change. Some folk got a problem with you doing well. I mean, it sounds weird, but believe me, some people got a problem with you excelling because it makes them feel bad. But you don't care about how they feel where it concerns doing what you should do. Amen, somebody? You care about people, but you don't care how somebody feels when you're trying to do the best you can do. And you'll find if you have the right mindset, stand in your space, God will put people around you who feel like you feel, who believe as you believe, going in the same direction you're going. Number two, commit yourself to God. Say, I will commit myself to God. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." That's a powerful word right there, y'all. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Because, listen, the plan succeeds because it's no longer your plan. Once you commit to God, whatever plan comes out of that, God's in it. You follow me? It's not that I got a plan, I'm going to go to God for him to stamp it approved. No, they work that way. You go to God, and then you get a plan from that encounter. You follow me? The plan comes as you walk with God. Now listen, he doesn't make you do stuff. You get to do what you want to do, but God wants to see, can you submit your plan to me? I promise you, your plan works better with God than without God. You know how it is, when you give somebody who's really good at something, let them look at it, they will say, this is good. Let me give you some tips, some advice, make this better. So you want God to improve whatever you have, and God does that. Don't be afraid of correction, of adjustments and changes, because the Bible says, reproofs of correction are the way of life. Right? Being corrected is not an exception. It's the rule. I mean, minor correction. You know, when you're driving a car, you don't think about it, but actually you're making adjustments. You're always adjusting while you're steering. Little adjustments, see? So God wants to adjust us. So when you're in God's presence, he makes adjustments. That all right? Number three, how to commence and advance. Trust the Lord more than your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct, he will make your path straight. Yeah. So trust in God. Now, when you go to school, you get knowledge, you begin to learn things, but you never become smarter than God. You never become smarter than God, okay? And so don't let learning kind of, don't take it wrong, take it right. So everything you're learning, submit that back to God. Give it to him so he can use it. He can use it. So he says, don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on it. You have it, but don't lean on it. Lean on God and use your understanding. There's a difference. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. You know, when you begin to learn and grow and graduate and commence and begin to earn a living and earn money, you don't forget God. Give that tithe to your church. Amen. Bless the Lord with your giving. It's evidence that you understand it all has come from God. Two more points. Number four, how to commence and advance. Number four, work for God, not only for people. Paul said in Colossians 3:23, Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. So the motivation is even on the job you don't like right now, do it as unto the Lord. Because God gave you strength and grace to do it. And by doing well at one level, he takes you to another level. You know, and when people who employ you, they know this is a job you might not want to have the rest of your life. They already know that. And people who employ you are watching you to see what is first the quality of your work and what's the attitude of the worker, right? Let me tell you something. When an employer sees that your attitude is bad, they're already plotting to get you out of there. They already got to, he got to go. But they'll do it in a very sly way. Sometimes they'll say, well, you know, reduce your hours. That's usually the first thing you do. You have less hours. Sometimes because, not always because attitude is bad, sometimes because they just see that, okay. On the other hand, let's say if you're working and your attitude is good, you're doing it as unto God, they notice that. Because employers are always looking for people to advance. They need people. They need managers. They need people to lead people. They don't tell you, I got my eye on you. I want to advance you. They don't tell you that. Not usually. They're watching you, though. I promise you, if you do a good job, they will make some room for you or tell somebody else who has an opening. You know, I got somebody here who will do a good job for you. That's why this is so important. When you, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Say, I will work at whatever I do with all my heart, even if my heart isn't in it. That's the truth now. That's why you work for God and not for people. That's part of being excellent. Final point here. You were built for purpose. Say, I was built for purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Workmanship is the brand, the craftsmanship. All right. I've got an Apple Watch on. I got an Apple iPad. I'm an Apple guy. You know that. All right. Some of y'all got Samsung. Somebody got a Gucci bag. I guess, is Gucci still a thing? I don't know what Gucci is. All right. It's still a thing. Okay. Okay. I mean, because the name is one thing, but the quality is the reason for the brand, right? And so you are God's workmanship, that the brand on you is made by God. See, I am made by God. And because you're made by God, you were created in Christ to do good work. Say good work. He says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So before you were born, God knew you. God saw you. God had a plan for you. In all the steps of your life, are designed and supposed to lead to God's plan. Now, some things in life are bad and hurtful and damaging. We know this. But the overall plan of God is to lead you forward, even past the hurt and the pain. That's always God's plan. Because you are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared beforehand. All right, final statement. Let me say this to graduates and scholars. Congratulations, your college degree, high school diploma, or passing to a higher grade is evidence of learning. Your college degree, high school diploma, or passing to a higher grade is neither a shortcut in life nor an emblem of privilege. You still have to become skillful in your field and earn the professional respect of people who know and do more than you. So especially for those who are graduates, who have degrees and diplomas, thank God for it. But it's not. Don't take it as an emblem of privilege. You know, thank God for it. You've earned it. But then, as we say, it's a beginning. It's a start. It's a step to your next level. So don't settle. Don't settle. Go forward. Say, I won't settle. I will go forward. Amen. Give God some praise. Be blessed today in the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.